Man, this aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness. I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a ship.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come in?
Point of order.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Sunday Times Politics Weekly with me, Amil Amra. We're joined in studio this week by everyone at the politics desk here at the Sunday Times. Zingisa Mvumvu, Kwanita Hunter, Apiwe de Klerk and Zimasa Matiwane. Guys, thank you so much for joining me in studio. I know we've got a lot to talk about this week. It's been a crazy past week, hasn't it?
Yeah. Sources have told us that you were on honeymoon.
Your sources are wrong. I think for the first time, your sources are incorrect. I heard you guys did really well without me last week. I feel like I have no need for me. There's no need for me. I feel replaced now. Anyway, let's get straight into it. We're going to be talking about opposition parties this week because there's so much happening around the EFF and the DA in terms of contestation for big positions within the party. Now let's start with the EFF. They're going to elect new leaders in December. And Zingisa, you wrote a story this week where you had gone to a tour of Nazareth at the Expo Center where that event is going to be held. Let's talk a little bit about who's running for the positions. There's speculation mounting that Dali Mpofu, you say in your article, is gearing up to contest Malema for the top job. And that obviously Mpofu wouldn't say anything about. Also, recent reports in other media outlets have said that Mpofu's current position of national chairperson had been identified for MP Veronica Mente. Some other positions believe that the party secretary general, Godric Gadi, will be replaced by Marshall Dlamini. That's interesting as well. And deputy president Floyd Chibambu is expected to return to his position. What about Mbuyiseni Ndlozi?
Well, as you say, the EFF conference is just around the corner, 13 to 16 December. And I mean, we would understand that in any political party towards conference, there's a whole lot of talk, speculations, right and wrong about contestation. But what is clear that there will be some form of contestation for some positions within the EFF. What is also clear, we know that the EFF has got sort of a centralized structure in terms of how the party operates, which sort of gives us a clue that people who may end up emerging in that conference may be those that are favored by the leader, being Julius Malema. The issue of Mpofu contesting, I don't think at the end it's going to end up happening. I think it's just part of the speculation, you know, to keep the excitement going towards conference. But I do think that he may not have taken kindly to his position being someone being lobbied for that position, you know, because I believe, much as there's this excuse that he's a busy man, he has never said it that he's too busy, he can't run for political office. In fact, he was chairperson now, but he managed, actually, me and Zimazo, we usually say this, how does this guy do it? Mm-hmm. Whenever EFF has a press conference, he's always there. Whenever they have an event, regardless of which province it is, he's always there. So it seems like his legal profession has never interfered with his political work. So I guess that is just a silly excuse by those who are opposing him. I would also think that maybe, the leader, Julius Malema being Julius Malema, it doesn't really appear to be one who likes people who are independent and who can challenge him. And my reading of the situation of the EFF, I would safely say that possibly the people who may oppose Julius Malema from time to time within that top leadership structure may be Advocate Mpofu and his deputy Floyd Chibambu. So those kind of things. And as I said, Julius being Julius, liking this centralized way of everything to him, you know, Dali may be, you know, unfavored now because of being an independent voice.
What's interesting about the EFF is that the guts for someone to go and proclaim, you know, that they've started a lobby is often seen to be sanctioned by the top leadership. So unlike the ANC, where you'll have a random grouping of people where people say, okay, we support Mvumvu for such position, I kind of got the impression that there's almost testing of the waters. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
with someone, especially in the Galdi, who's up for
Mashal Dlamini.
And what did Julius say about Galdi yesterday? Were you there?
Yeah, no, I was there. I mean, it would seem the Gadi situation, it becomes apparent even in how he interacts with him during the people that really shame. I feel sorry for the guy. You know, actually,
like
I think.
In what way?
In that he just treats him like a child.
He doesn't do that with Marshall.
Exactly. He doesn't do that with Floyd. He doesn't do that with Dan. But whenever he deals with poor Godrich, a whole struggle icon, you know, not icon, but a veteran. He was in the ANC, was in the underground, that guy. I understand that is the case. Yeah. So, but the mannerism in which Julius interacts with him would show that really he doesn't think much of the guy, which is quite sad. I would think that maybe it's the best way for him to step aside and let someone else take over.
So he kind of set the water, right, by talking about the international. I was reading an article about Julius saying that the Secretary General didn't really fully take advantage of the support the EFF gets on the continent and internationally. And I thought, okay, that's probably setting the scene for his removal.
You see, and with that too, although the context in how Julius said that, Julius said the EFF generally was complacent in establishing a footprint internationally, on the understanding that we're a globalized world, we don't exist in an isolation. The bringing in of Godrich was on the fact that he will have to reflect that in his organizational report. Yes. So you may be right to say maybe in some way he is pinning this blame on him, because why can't he in the political report reflect that? Because he will also do a political report, you know, he may reflect it, but by taking a failure and saying the SG, because now the SG should have had a chance to write the organizational report independently in his own analysis of where the organization is and where it ought to go. But now by being told like that during the people, not even in an official meeting of the entire top structure of the EFF, there is no way he can afford now to leave that part out. But if he didn't see it that way, what is he going to say about it, you know?
The guy that he is being touted as the replacement, Mashal Dlamini, he's been credited a lot for the growth of the EFF in KZN. The EFF, according to them, they have the biggest membership in KZN. They had the biggest electoral growth in KZN. So there is also that element, and I understand that he's a well-liked guy, he's a well-respected guy, and he's a guy with money. And when he's sitting with Malema, it's like Malema is sitting with his equal. He doesn't look like he's about to go fetch ice, you know? So, yeah.
Is he respected because he clubs people?
Well, maybe. He's decisive.
He's a man. Who did he hit?
He clubbed a bouncer in parliament.
He averted an assassination attempt against Malema.
By a simple clap in parliament. But when you read these stories, it's as if it's not just Malema, both factions that are allegedly there, seemingly they don't see Gadi as the future.
No, it seems. I mean, just to go back maybe to Amir's questions about Dlozi, in actual fact, there's speculation that one of the factions that are within the EFF are pushing for Dlozi to go for the Secretary General position, which, in my opinion, I don't think. I think Marshall, to be in all honesty, according to Zimasa's reasoning that she has already put out, he is the best candidate in the absence of Godrich Gadi. Because, I mean, Dlozi is a good communicator and all, but I don't think he's got the power and the capability to mobilize, and that office.
Yeah, can you imagine Dlozi as a secretary? I mean any of the other positions maybe that you are up for contest.
Yeah, even maybe the chairperson or treasurer, you know. Yeah. You
the can question I have is that is the EFF still too small and too controlled by Julius to have blowout in the leadership fight in December?
It's this centralized structure that I was talking about, in that every...
You mean authoritative?
Yes, yes, very authoritative. And as such, also among the issues that they say they want to debate, which I think will be quite interesting, they say they are talking about redesign. The redesign of the structure. There are people who are raising exactly these issues, that the structure is too centralized, and as such it takes away the powers of provinces, in that in the EFF really no one really cares about EFF provinces or provincial leaders, because everything is done through the head office. And yesterday, listening to Julius Malema, I could hear that he is not one of the people who are in favor of that discussion on of redesigning, because he actually emphasized yesterday to say that the head office is the center, and everything that is done must be done through the head office. So I think that is going to be quite an interesting debate. And in that debate, there's a suggestion of the establishment of an EFF Women's Command, EFF Youth Command. A leader like Julius Malema, I don't think he can allow such a thing, because now you have a whole lot of branches that can be captured by someone else and be used to mobilize against you. And I don't think Julius is ready for that.
But do you think for them it's a good thing? Because they are a young party. They've just finished, what, their 6 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that system that he uses is the main reason why they have not fallen apart, despite what had happened in the previous, in their first Congress? Andile Mutama and the former SG and all of that. Do you think it assists them? Because in the other party that we are going to talk about just now,
yeah,
you find that someone who's supported by the leader of the party loses an election, and it becomes sort of a referendum on the said person's leadership capabilities, to the point that they have to resign. So do you think for Julius it works for him that, because he's so in charge of his party, is that even if someone leaves or someone tries to break away, because the party is so controlled by him and the people that he supports, it's much easy. It's not easy to destabilize it, maybe in a similar manner that COPE happened.
It definitely works at the beginning, but as the party grows, as the party has more members, and people obviously will start revolting against any authoritarian leader like Julius. So eventually it will cause problems for him, because the EFF is growing.
If the party grows, though.
If it doesn't grow like UDM,
I was just gonna say UDM,
then yeah. Then he's not gonna, he can be a president forever, for life, if he wants to. Even when he's dead, he can be president. But
but that's the thing with the EFF has shown steady growth throughout the elections, even if we just go to electoral support alone.
Yeah.
We also go to the issue of the EFF Student Command, which has really infiltrated South African universities and other institutions of higher learning. So you can see that this whole thing is broadening, and that alone will make it difficult for him to be the first and the last voice, because people now will feel like you are macromanaging them, you are policing their ideas, you know. Hence the establishment of a women's command and a youth command would be very problematic for him, because those bodies will need to have their independent voice. They will have to pursue issues that affect their particular constituencies, yeah, that at time may be in collision with his views or his ideas about where the EFF must go.
Yeah, imagine Julius dealing with a Batabile Dlamini,
you know,
who is Ntsikima's wife, for example.
Let me ask last question before we end up on this topic. It's highly improbable that we're going to see somebody replace Julius Malema in December,
yes,
or Floyd Shivambu in December. So if you have your top two leaders in the party not changing come December, are we expecting to see a different sort of EFF next year, or are we just, is it going to be more of the same?
Look, I think it will be more of the same, but these elements that I spoke about, if for me the critical points in this conference is this Women's and Youth Command that may change the direction and dynamics within the EFF. If that debate, they manage to squash it and such is not carried through, the structure of the EFF remains as is, then Julius will still have a free ride going forward for the next 5 years. But if that debate wins and there's the establishment of those structures, and then they go to their own conferences, elect their own leaders, Julius is going to find it difficult to have everyone in every corner of the AFF being someone who is loyal to him. It is completely impossible, because even if people may start being loyal to you, once they feel that I have a real power, I have a real constituents, because the issue with leagues is that they give you your own independent constituents. If you are in control of a women's command or youth command, you have all these people behind you. So you may actually use that to bargain for your own political ambitions going forward, such that at times those ambitions may be in contradiction with the thinking of the leader.
You see, someone like Julius, I believe he knew that one day these things are going to come up. I believe that he has a plan to squash them. Mm. I believe that he has a plan to be in power for as long as he can. And I believe that the top six will be what he wants it to be. So he's going to win. He's going to win by all means, not just by retaining the presidency, but by retaining his party.
Well, we're going to keep an eye out on this story in the weeks and months to come until December. And we'll keep you updated with that as we go along. But we're going to take a very quick break. And when we get back, we're going to be talking about another big leadership contest, this time in the DA. Join us when we're back.
Racial identity politics, a phrase that has the potential to start an argument in just about any situation. That's why we're starting it first. Let's Start an Argument is a unique and insightful podcast series about the meaning of race to us today. Presented by researcher Cecilia Koch and Doctor of Philosophy Jason Werbeloff, the series aims to spark rational argument and meaningful discussion around this controversial topic. Find Let's Start an Argument now on the Cliff Central app, cliffcentral.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, welcome back. Let's get straight into the DA. Now, Apiwe, you and Zimosa contributed towards a story this weekend which looked at possible new leaders within the Blue Party. Now, it says that while the DA attempted to put up a positive spin on the departure of Musi Maimane and Herman Mashaba last week, critics will make much of the fact that the new leaders will all be white and thought to be close to Helen Zille. Now, according to insiders, your story says they plan to take control of the DA and its caucus. The first part of the plan fell into place this weekend when former Chief Whip John Steenhuisen was announced as parliamentary leader, after he was the only candidate nominated on Friday night. Now, this puts him in the pole position for the post of interim party leader. The article also says that DA MP Natasha Mazzoni is said to be appointed chief whip, while MP Gordon Hill Lewis will be tipped as the future CEO of the party. So it's interesting that we're seeing this whole new leadership emerge with the DA. Literally the moment Musi Maimane announced his resignation, it was almost as if this was planned from the outset, wasn't it, Apiwe?
Actually, wait, point of order, check. Yeah. When I mean, because you are not here, when you introduce Apiwe, you never leave the part about DA correspondent.
Please. I'm not a DA correspondent, I'm a Sunday Times political reporter. The other interesting part about it is that at least the two, in John and Hill Lewis, had been close associates of Musi. Hill Lewis was his chief of staff for a long time, and John Steenhuisen is his own pick for chief whip, because as the leader, then you pick your own chief whip. So it's very much interesting. People should read what they read into it, that the people who immediately replace him are those is Steenhuisen as leader at least. It's interesting, the contest. Steenhuisen himself has said now he's readying himself for the position. Of course, there are other people
who is he up against?
There are other people who say that they have been approached. In the story we mentioned, the leader in Mzwakhele Mncwango, also the leader of Gauteng says he has been approached, but it's not just for that position with him. So it's going to be an interesting contest. It will we will see how much power how popular Steenhuisen is next month, and if indeed his election as the leader of that caucus boosts him.
But did you see his speech at the press club yesterday, where he said the DA was a blue wobbly jelly before the elections, wobbling from right to left, which kind of gives an indication of
what he thought about Moses' leadership all along.
Yep.
In essence.
Yeah, basically. How many people are voting? Is that 150?
The last time it was 155, the contest for Helen Zille. So it's the same council. So I would imagine it will be a number around there. But you, of course, with the it should be around about the same number of people.
I feel like it's an NEC of the ANC choosing the president of the ANC as opposed to the branches of the ANC. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they. Well, of course, they're going to have an interim leader, and then they're going to Congress in April. But I have a feeling that whoever emerges on the 17th is likely to continue being the leader. It's not going to be very easy to remove that person. But also, the DA, 150 people are going to choose who is going to lead the DA going into local government elections. I don't know if they've thought it through.
No, but it won't be going to local government. Whoever is elected an interim leader now, they will just serve for 4 or 5 months.
Until the special Congress.
So it's the person will lead in the interim because they can't hold a Congress. That's primarily the reason. They can't hold a Congress immediately. They need to prepare for it.
My argument is whoever wins...
Yeah, they'll be moving from the point of advantage.
Will likely win at the conference.
Will definitely win in my own reading of the situation, especially if it's John Steenhuisen. That takeover, comrades, is not child's play.
It's actually a takeover. Yeah, hostile
for me, this whole contest thing, it's a no contest, as far as I'm concerned.
He might not even be contested.
Of course.
Yeah.
There is a serious takeover in the DA, and we, at least all of us, we agree on that part. That is a serious takeover. The DA is going back to its old self. serious, comrades. No, don't laugh. It's going back to its old self, and people have been identified, people who fit this mission of taking it back to its old self of being a you know, that what it was. I don't even want to mention it. So, really, I would advise the likes of John Moody and Zwakhele Mncwango to not even think about it if they're still interested in their political survival, because Helen Zille is no child's play. We just spoke about Helen Zille type of a leader in another part. Helen Zille, in terms of leadership style, they are the same. Helen Zille, you see, he's just a bulldozer everywhere, even on social media. So if she has decided that John Steenhuisen, all of them, Natasha Mazzoni and Hill Lewis, all these people should be the one who lead the DA going forward, it is going to happen. Whether Mwango, Moody and their people don't like it, it's just going to happen. That's how things are. It's the reality. It is going to
they
happen.
They must just accept it, Shame.
They must just accept it, Shame. As far as Shame, they are helpless. There's nothing they can do.
But if you heard John Steenhuisen, And this talk about, you know, moving away from this racialized conversation of politics and we're going to a world of, what is it, post-racial?
Yeah.
You know? And then you hear Helen Zille, it's literally, you know...
Same script.
Yeah, it's the exact same script.
Yeah.
And it's not even badly articulated. It's like well articulated, you know what I mean? Like to say, no, we can't have this thing of race anymore. If you look at the people that resigned, they were how many black people? So the, you know, it's not.
It's not about race.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Trollope is gonna struggle with his white skin.
So you can see that there's almost a what's the word? You know, sharing of notes between these individuals. And so you can almost see a coordinated effort to say, okay, we tried this project out. do we really need the party to grow? Not really. Let's get back to where we're at, and let's make sure that we protect our constituents.
Absolutely.
And we can't do that by bringing in new people. We can't burn our fingers. We tried it with Nindiwe. We tried it with Musi. So let us take it back.
And just consolidate with what we have and what we will always have. I think the DA have accepted that in terms of protecting their constituency, they've reached the ceiling. Their constituents, actually, they reached the ceiling and went down in the previous elections.
But
because
their constituents are so... So not thick-skinned. I mean, how do you get offended by my man speaking about white privilege?
Because
how does that make you not vote for a party whose policies and ideology you believe in?
But you see, the thing.
It touches someone on the studio.
My reading of the situation, Zim, is that how they think that traditional constituents of the DA. When you start speaking issues of diversity, what people don't realize in people with that kind of thinking is that diversity doesn't mean that you are taking away from someone. You are just saying, let's level the playing field. But how they read the situation is that when you speak diversity, you are saying black people must take over. And therefore, we will not allow you to just take over what we have.
There's no difference between them and Freedom Front Plus.
Absolutely none. That is why voters who left the DA in the previous elections went to Freedom Front Plus. And Freedom Front Plus is very clear that we are all about Afroforum type of politics. We are not compromising. And that's where the DA missed the point.
Because, I mean, you know that conversation, it really struck me, that thing of Patrice Motsepe's son and... Ramaphosa's son can't be, are they, there's no white privilege there because they have privilege because they're rich. And I'm like, those type of discussions are something that are formulated in a, almost like a think tank kind of like forum where we say, okay, we agree that our counter to the conversation about white privilege is Patrice Motsepe's son. And those type of things for me show a very clear indication that it's not even about getting rid of Musi and getting rid of whoever, but it was we are no longer going to try to be a party for all South Africans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, that's where it is. They are enjoying their privilege. They don't want to be disturbed. In fact, they don't want to recognize. I mean, people who... Remember when Musi made the issue about white privilege, there was a big furor, which is reality in South Africa, by the way. But if people can be uncomfortable with such clear facts, you know, then you must really be worried about such people. And I don't think, as much as I put it, really, such a party cannot be one that is to take South Africa forward. But I think they will be best suited protecting their constituency. They will do it so well, as far as I'm concerned.
No, of course.
And at least now they will have one identity. We will know what they are about. Yeah. I mean,
they are not going to be stressing and worrying about child support grants and things that don't concern them.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll join Joburg as well. Now we'll have bicycle lanes. You know?
I have one question. Last year, this time, did we ever think we were going to do a whole podcast on the factionalism?
No,
not
never.
In Congi.
No,
never.
You
not
know,
in
so
the ANC.
It is what it is, man. The DA has chosen its path, and there's nothing any one of us can do about it.
Yeah, and you know, the good thing for them is that this is happening in a build-up to, of course, it's a reaction to how they've done in the national government elections. So the true test of this transformation that is happening within the party is going to be the local government elections. And in the local government elections, there it gives you a true test.
Yeah.
Because people get to vote for people they can see, the people that they know. So communities in all these municipalities are going to then have to decide that in a community whereby this ward, 95% it's black South Africans, and then there's a 5%, I'm just making an example, it's not scientific, 5% is white, but because the DA says we don't see race, we think that this is the best capable person on the ground when they are voting, will the voters agree with them or will disagree? And it's nice that you can go ward by ward and do a proper analysis. So the local government elections is going to be a true test of what they are discussing in boardrooms. And I will really like to go and cover the door-to-door campaigning of John Steyn.
My goodness.
I'm very much interested.
Just
I mean the guy at Parliament is brilliant, yeah. As a chief whip,
yeah.
He knows that job.
I can agree with you there.
Yeah, no, with this metric, and, very and, good.
I'm not going there.
His
highest qualification is metric. It's a fact.
I'm still making my point.
No, but you can't dismiss the fact.
Yeah, chief, I co-authored the story. So.
Okay.
I usually say to some of the people who, when we are discussing, of course, as journalists or with other people, if you say the guy is not the best, tell me who was the chief whip before him. Mm. And people start scratching their heads because they can't remember. The guy has done so well. The only other chief whip who rivaled him was Gotrich, interestingly, when he came to Parliament.
Yeah.
The guy was clear. I think he at some point overshadowed Steyn-Huisen because of his knowledge of parliamentary rules and stuff. And it forced him to go back to really study the rules and so. So as a chief whip and in that platform, he did excellent. But as to whether that will translate to him doing and bringing support as a leader, it remains to be seen.
I think he's definitely going to bring back the voters that went to the Freedom Front Plus. I don't know a single black person who listens to a white person that says I don't see color. We know that is rubbish. And the first thing you see when you look at me is color. So when you say that, immediately I'm not listening to you forever.
I do not understand people who do not see color with the history of South Africa.
I don't care if you are green, you are bigger. No, I'm black, you are white. There's no green. Okay, I think we
can
I
get that. And look, for all South Africans, the end goal should be that people... their circumstances are not determined because of the race. Whether they do well or whether, you know, it shouldn't be about race. But you can't say you are undoing the damage that was done by apartheid, which was primarily
race-based.
So when you are undoing that, you can't act and assume that you are
on
the same level. So I don't get those arguments. So that's why I'm saying, if the DA goes that route, let it, and then it must go and test it in the next local government elections. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. Well, the point that I just wanted to make is the people that I think the DA is going to lose with this new path that it has taken. The biggest beneficiary for me is going to be the ANC. And then with this whole speculation about Musi Maimane forming his party, sham, I really want to advise him against it. It's not going to work. It's really not going to work. If he wants to continue political, I think he must try to find something that fits within his views in what currently exists. I mean, this whole thing of forming new political parties in South Africa has proved to be a complete disaster. Because in terms of policies, I mean, what makes these things fail is that you can't be that much different to what already is being offered. Who can come up with a new thing with all these political parties that we have in terms of policy and, ideology? Really, you can't. You can't be that distinct. Which makes it difficult for people to choose you over what currently exists, ANC, DA, EFF, and stuff like that. Therefore, such a strategy of him starting his own new party, I don't think it would work at all.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for this week. Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks, guys, for joining me in studio. We'll catch you again at the same time next week. Take care. Have a good week. Until then.